Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Welcome to the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily look at the significant issues of our time from an experienced conservative perspective. Mrs. Schlafly is president of Eagle Forum, a leading force in the pro-family movement since 1972. And now, here's Mrs. Schlafly.
President Bill Clinton made a speech on January 22, 1997, to a suburban Chicago audience so friendly that it interrupted him with applause 29 times. One line in his speech, however, was greeted with stony silence. He said, "We can no longer hide behind our love of local control of the schools." Now, Bill Clinton is gone from the White House, but the federalization laws of his administration, Goals 2000, School to Work, and Workforce Investment, are still in place. President George W. Bush, who says the federal government has a role to play in education, has merely substituted labels more comforting to Republicans: standards, tests, and accountability. Now we find that the process is no longer just federalization. It's globalization. The United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, known as UNESCO, is positioning itself to design curriculum for American schools. On November 17, 2004, at UNESCO's headquarters in Paris, UNESCO signed a cooperation agreement with Microsoft Corporation to develop a master curriculum for teacher training in information technologies based on standards, guidelines, benchmarks, and assessment techniques. This agreement states that the curriculum will form the basis for deriving training content to be delivered to teachers, and UNESCO will explore how to facilitate content development. Following the signing of the agreement, the UNESCO Director General explained that one of its goals is fostering content development and worldwide curricula reflecting UNESCO values. President Reagan withdrew the U.S. from UNESCO in 1984 because it was corrupt. It's too bad President Bush put us back in. Parents don't want school curriculum that originates with any U.N. organization.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Parents, it's important for the sake of your kids that you keep up with the latest trends in education. That's why we publish the Education Reporter. Write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002 for your free copy. That's Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. Or go online to eagleforum.org. And join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
From the heartland of America comes a harvest of insight and entertainment. This is the Common Sense Coalition, the Derry Brownfield Show, starring Derry Brownfield. And here's the star of the show, and now the man who says, save time, see it his way, Derry Brownfield.
Hello there, Derry Brownfield here, and I am happy that you're along on this adventure in broadcasting. It is a talk show with the country flavor, some common sense points of view. It's been a while, I think maybe a year and a half, since we have had the pleasure of having Ben Shapiro on the air with me. Did I pronounce Shapiro right, Ben? Yep.
Exactly right.
Okay, I thought I did, but I couldn't remember. Ben was one of the youngest students to ever syndicate a column. He writes for WorldNet Daily and several other news media. He is presently in Harvard Law School, but if I remember right, Ben, I think the first time you were on the air, you were still a college student in UCLA, right?
That's right, yeah. Now I'm in the middle of the second year, so.
It's the second year of law school. You've written a couple of books that have been very successful. I remember we promoted Brainwashed for you, how the university professors indoctrinate their students, and I see they're still trying to do that.
Oh, yeah, very clearly they're trying to indoctrinate students, and it does extend to the law school level, in case anyone was wondering.
Did you?
Harvard Law School has approximately 90-odd professors, and as far as I know, 7 are registered Republicans, so a bit of an imbalance there, and it does come across. Yes, they are teaching judicial activism at Harvard Law School.
You know, you mentioned being Republicans. Ben, I guess somewhere out there are some conservative Republicans, but I don't see but one or two that operate in Congress.
That's for sure. It's pretty disheartening to watch as especially the Senate really takes it to the idea of conservatism, the idea of limited government, the idea of social conservatism. All of that is gone. I think that we've really become a much more libertarian kind of libertarian. It's strange. Libertarian in terms of social policy, but big government in terms of fiscal policy. So we're looking a lot like Democrats, frankly.
Did you, you are a Republican, right?
Yeah, I am a registered Republican, and I'm saddened to see where the party's going.
Wouldn't it be better to be an independent in your position?
I don't see necessarily the reason for being independent, simply because I think that the best shot at getting conservatism into Congress is to try and revolutionize the party from the inside, like Reagan did, or like Goldwater did. I think fighting the battle from the outside is probably a losing cause.
Yeah, but Goldwater, you know, he didn't. I remember that very well. He got snollygostered by Johnson.
Oh, absolutely. But he really did. He was the beginning of the revolution that culminated in Reagan. I mean, Reagan really gained popularity after he gave his address at Goldwater's nomination in '64. So.
You mentioned how college students are being brainwashed by university professors. Have you seen this picture of Alberto Gonzalez where he is speaking at Georgetown Law School?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I think it just happened yesterday or maybe today. They didn't dateline this thing properly, if it happened. Now, this could be one of those things that it's not coming to me from a typical news source. You know, it's not on WorldNet Daily. It's coming from InsomniaLiveJournal.com. I've never heard of it. Have you? Do you know what that organization is?
No, I'm not sure about it.
It's a blog, Jeff says. Okay, here I have here a picture. of Alberto Gonzalez speaking before the, and for those of our listeners who are not familiar with old Alberto, he is now our heads up the Justice Department.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, he took John Ashcroft's job. Now, it shows a picture of him speaking before these students, and the students all have their backs to him. And it said here, Alberto Gonzalez spoke before law students at Georgetown today, justifying illegal, unauthorized surveillance of U.S. citizens during the course of his speech. The students in class got up from their seats and turned their backs to him. Additional students came into the room wearing black cowls and carrying a simple banner written on a sheet. I have a picture of this, and it shows the students with their backs to the podium, and they're holding up this banner that says, those who would sacrifice liberty for security deserve neither. The article goes on to say that it was a brief speech followed by a panel discussion that basically ripped his argument apart. One of the people on the panel said, when you're a law student, they tell you to say that if you can't argue the law, argue the facts. They also tell you if you can't argue the facts, argue the law. If you can't argue either, apparently the solution is to go on a public relations offensive and make a political issue. To say over and over again, it's lawful, and to think that the American people will somehow come to believe this if we say it often enough. Now, David Cole, Georgetown University law professor, supposedly said, in light of this, I'm proud of the very civil disobedience that was shown here today. It was a good day for dissent. Does that make sense to you?
No, I think that what makes sense to me is actually listening to the legal position and then deciding your position on the issue. I mean, these are people who are trained to be lawyers or judges. I mean, these are people who are supposed to be able to separate their personal emotion and their own politics from the law. And the legal issue on the FISA case in particular is not only rather obscure, but also it tends to cut both ways, meaning that there's a good case for both sides. FISA, it's pretty obvious FISA does not authorize the kind of wiretaps that President Bush has been undertaking. However, the Constitution, under his war powers, very well could authorize such things. I mean, the idea that you can detain people without a writ of habeas corpus, which has been pretty well accepted ever since the Civil War in times of war, but that you can't tap their phones is kind of bizarre. So the legal issue here is not only a very hotly contested one, it's one that people who are honest from the left have recognized as being one that the Bush administration probably wins. I mean, Cass Sunstein, who teaches at Harvard Law right now and actually taught at University of Chicago before that, he's a big leftist, and he believes that the Constitution, for instance, mandates gay marriage and things like that. But he admits that so-called spying program, the surveillance program, is probably constitutional. And, you know, if people like Cass Sunstein are admitting that, that means that there's a real legal argument here going on. And the idea that, you know, we're going to go and we're going to turn our backs to people. I don't see conservative law students from the Federalist Society going and turning their back when Stephen Breyer speaks at Harvard Law. We go and we listen to him. We think what he says is stupid. And then we ask him questions. The idea that they're going to go there and protest and show how horrible this is, and the idea that, you know, this law professor or any of these law students have the explicit pipeline to the Constitution seems rather bizarre to me. These are probably the same law students who believe that gay marriage is mandated by the Constitution, that affirmative action is mandated by the Constitution. These are the same people who believe that the Constitution really doesn't matter in the end.
Let's take a break. Dan, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Common Sense Coalition. Our number is 1-800-973-3779. Ben Shapiro is with us today, live from Harvard Law School. But we'll be right back.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
With Valentine's Day rapidly approaching on February 14th, the American Gold Rose Company reminds you that their beautiful collection of real roses dipped in 24-karat gold may be just what you're looking for. The classic rose is priced at only $49.95. It's 11 inches long and comes in a beautiful red gift box. There's the Hollywood Elite Rose for only $65, where your special someone receives a long-stem gold rose, 17 inches long, delivered to their door in a beautiful gold presentation box. Both are unique gifts. And when you buy any two gold roses, you'll receive free a genuine rose leaf dipped in 24-karat gold, a $30 value free. The American Gold Rose Company. Call now at 1-800-458-7134. That's 1-800-458-7134. fresh-cut roses, dipped in 24-karat gold, delivered to their door that last a lifetime. That's 1-800-458-7134 or online at AmericanGoldRose.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
And we have returned. We're visiting today with Ben Shapiro. He is a Harvard Law School second term, second year scholar. Jeff just did a little checking on the internet for us, Sam, that apparently did take place, that we were talking about Alberto Gonzalez there, and the students turned their back on him. That occurred January the 24th, which was just last Tuesday. So anyhow, it did happen, for whatever it's worth. Now, you said you have these liberal professors that come in and speak, and you listen to them and then argue with them, right?
Right. I mean, that's typically how you should do these things. I mean, the truth is that law, if law is to have any meaning, it has to be apart from politics. And if it becomes a simple recital of political positions, as it seems to have done at Georgetown, then it really doesn't mean anything at all. Law has to be separate from politics, because that's why we abide by law. We don't abide by politics.
Well, but we appoint our Supreme Court justices by politics. We appoint all of our judges by politics, right?
Well, you know, it's easy enough to say that. The question is whether the problem is that when people talk about the judiciary becoming politicized, what they really mean is that there are some people who look at the law objectively, and there are some people who twist the law to fit their own ends. So to give a brief lesson in legal history, there used to be the idea that law was independent of politics, that judges actually could determine what the law was in the Constitution apart from their own personal politics. There was a movement called legal realism that really took hold in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, and really took over the legal academy. And that movement stated that personal politics could never be separated from your picture of the law. So if you were a liberal, you were going to interpret the law in a liberal way. If you were a conservative, you were going to interpret the law in a conservative way. And that really killed the practice of law, because once you say that law is all about your personal politics, then there's no reason why judges should have any power. You might as well just, you know, better to have politicians who are elected than politicians who are unelected. I believe that there can be judges who are apart from the law, apart from politics, I should say. And I think that probably the best example of a judge who really is apart from politics is Clarence Thomas, because you know his interpretive approach every time he steps onto the bench. He's going to go back to the original meaning of the Constitution. He's going to look at all the available evidence, and then he's going to come to a conclusion. And it seems to me that that is the kind of attitude that we need toward the law. Unfortunately, I'd say the vast, vast majority of people, not only in law schools but on the Supreme Court, are much more interested in seeing what kind of liberal conclusions they can twist out of the Constitution than they are in the original meaning of the Constitution.
Right. And now, see, you're the attorney and I'm not, but it looks to me like that we have a lot of people in, and let's go all the way to the Supreme Court, but even out in the country, we see judges saying, well, that's not constitutional, that is constitutional. There's nothing in the Constitution that gives them the right to even talk about the subjects that they're talking about.
Right, and the more that I've studied this, the more I realize that what we really need here is a constitutional amendment to end judicial review. Now, judicial review is the idea that judges can simply overrule legislatures, that your elected officials basically have no power, that judges can throw out statutes that they determine to be not in concert with the Constitution. Judicial supremacy is the idea that they have the final word. So it used to be that all three branches of the federal government, executive, legislative, and judiciary, had the ability to decide for themselves what the Constitution meant. And then in the interplay between the branches is where politics really mattered. So, for instance, Andrew Jackson, when he was president, he saw a decision of the Supreme Court, McCulloch versus Maryland.
And when we come back, let's finish that comment. You're listening to the Common Sense Coalition.
Show again at DerryBrownfield.com.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
This is Christine with another Brigham Home message. Have we as Americans had enough yet? With the recent crisis in New Orleans and the southern Gulf Coast, death and destruction have been visited upon Americans once again. The government's response has been to bring foreign troops onto America's land. Federal and foreign troops now control the region, while the National Guardsmen are away, entangled in foreign wars, unable to protect their homes and families. The New World Order has reached its long-planned objective, to secure American troops on foreign soil and foreign troops on American soil. Let's get these foreign troops out and bring our American troops home now. Help us make the public aware of this dire situation by displaying on your cars our Bring 'em Home magnetic ribbons or our new Bring 'em Home bumper stickers. To place your orders, call 877-605-9200 or go to rbnlive.com or bringemhome.org.
And we have returned, visiting with Ben Shapiro. And Ben, as we mentioned, is a second-year law student at Harvard University. Ben has written a couple of books, and you write regularly. This happens to be what I'm looking at here is, I believe, coming to us from WorldNet Daily, perhaps. But you're talking about the before we went into this, you were going to mention Andrew Jackson.
Yeah, so what I was talking about is the idea that all three branches of the government used to have independent interpretive power over the Constitution, meaning that the executive, legislative, and judicial branches all had the ability to interpret the Constitution. And if you look at their oaths of office, of course, everyone has the ability to interpret the Constitution. Andrew Jackson, for instance, overruled a decision of the Supreme Court in 1821 when he simply said about the National Bank that he would not recharter it, despite the fact that the Supreme Court had said it was constitutional. He said, it is unconstitutional, I will not recharter it. If the Supreme Court thinks differently, let them try and stop me. And that was basically his view.
Well, he was right on that, was he not?
He was absolutely right.
Part of the Constitution. There shall be no, what did they call it back in those days? I have my Constitution here and I can't find it, but there shall be no central bank.
Right. Well, it doesn't say anything in the Constitution about a central bank, but it does say that the federal government does not have the power. It only has the power to enact laws which are necessary and proper to get done certain causes that the Constitution has allowed the national government to do. The question was whether a national bank was necessary and proper to things like commerce. Basically, Jackson said no, and therefore I'm not going to recharter it. I believe that system was much better because the people themselves, we were the ones whose interpretation of the Constitution mattered because we were going to elect politicians based on what they thought of the Constitution. Now it's all about what the Supreme Court thinks of the Constitution. It's their Constitution. We basically sit back, and if the Supreme Court allows us to vote on an issue, we vote on it, and, you know, that's it. And if the Supreme Court doesn't allow us to vote on an issue like abortion, we don't vote on it. We kind of sit there and we say, oh, well, you know, the Supreme Court has the power. We need to realize the Supreme Court has never had that sort of power. The Constitution does not delegate them that sort of power. James Madison, the father of the Constitution, explicitly said in 1788 that to delegate to the judicial branch the final authority over what the Constitution means would be both unfair and improper.
Now, you are a second-year student at Harvard Law School. Do they teach you this information at Harvard, or are you doing this research on your own?
Well, I mean, I do most of this research on my own.
That's what I thought, because that doesn't sound to me like it would be coming from a liberal professor of law.
Right. Well, you know, this is basic history. So people at the law school will mention it, but then they'll kind of move on pretty quickly to say, yes, but the judicial now has that sort of power, and they should have that sort of power specifically because of Brown versus Board. That is the liberal argument for judicial review, is the idea that there would still be segregation in the country if there had not been Brown versus Board. So very clearly we have to delegate the judicial this sort of power across the board, which is a silly argument. Look, Brown versus Board, we can agree with the result. We can also say that it was gotten that the result of desegregation was gotten to by the wrong means. And in fact, desegregation really only occurred after the 1964 Civil Rights Act, so the Supreme Court had very little to do with it.
Give us a little information, and I could do it here because I'd be reading your information, but you talk about it's time to reclaim our republic from the Supreme Court. And then you give these ridiculous cases that they first rule one way, and then they turn around and rule just exactly the opposite.
Yeah, the Supreme Court does it routinely. So the idea that the Supreme Court has this higher authority or that they know better than anyone else what's going on is just belied by their own opinions. I mean, if you look at, for instance, their racial decision. So Brown versus Board says there shall be no segregation, right? That's the basic concept of Brown v. Board. A few years later, actually about 50 years later, the Supreme Court decides there may be racial quotas used. Race can matter. So Brown versus Board says race can't matter. Then the Supreme Court turns around 50 years later in Grutter v. Bollinger and says that affirmative action can be used, so race can matter. And then in the exact same month, they issue another decision in which they say, but it can't matter too much. So the Supreme Court is all over the place. If you look at their decisions on abortion, Roe versus Wade came around and disestablished 200 years of American legal precedent. They said, well, now there's a right to abortion. And then in 1992, in a decision they said was upholding Roe versus Wade but actually was undermining it, in Planned Parenthood versus Casey, the Supreme Court said, well, you know, now there's not really a right to an abortion. There might be a right to an abortion. There's a right to an abortion, but the legislature can put burdens on the women that are not undue. So they changed the standard. Bowers v. Hardwick in Lawrence versus Texas is probably the best example. Bowers v. Hardwick, decided in 1989, is a case where the Supreme Court comes out and says, look, laws regarding sodomy are perfectly constitutional, and they are part of America's legal tradition. And then last year, the Supreme Court came out and said, well, no, you know, we're going to change this. 2003, Lawrence versus Texas, we're going to say now that all laws regarding sodomy are unconstitutional, meaning that there is no right to sodomy implicit in the Constitution. So the Supreme Court changes its mind all the time. They contradict themselves all the time. This is all about the nine politicians making policy from the bench, and we sit here and we accept it. And really, it's not even about nine, it's about five. As soon as you get five people who agree on an issue, that becomes the law of the land. And that's the problem with judicial review. And we have to realize that our sovereignty is what's being intruded upon here. We have to realize it's our power to decide the issues that's being intruded upon. And we have to rebel against the judiciary. And this idea that even if we have good judges, things will be okay, it's just ignoring the past. Because every time we think we get good judges, it turns out badly for us. Republicans have appointed seven of the last nine justices. And in fact, they've appointed nine of the last 11. It's made absolutely zero difference in terms of the policy that the court has taken.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Jerry Brownfield Show.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The American agriculture movement sympathizes with farmers and hurricane victims. Unfortunately, common sense environmental views were not followed by controlled, politically correct governmental officials. Instead, extremist views were followed, opposing upgrading levees along the Mississippi River, Missouri River, and many other lakes and rivers. Some extreme environmentalists aim to socialize America, destroy land rights, champion the expired Endangered Species Act, implement United Nations Agenda 21, and destroy river dikes, levees, and dams. Join the American Agriculture Movement, the organization built and controlled by farmers. To join AAM, call 605-993-6201. That's 605-993-6201. Or go online to aaminc.org.
Recently a guest on the Derry Brownfield Show and the subject of a new book, One Man with Courage, here's Wayne Kreitz.
I said, I'm either 100% guilty or I'm 100% innocent, and it's not 50 or 40%. And I said, if that jury finds me guilty, I won't like it, but I will accept their penalty. When the jury came back and they stood up and passed the verdict to the bailiff and he handed it to the judge looked at it and said, was this a unanimous decision? And they said, yes, it was. And he just stowed the verdict on the floor. The bailiff picked it up and says, the ladies and gentlemen of the jury find the defendant not guilty.
Get the book, One Man with Courage, The Wayne Kreitz Story. Now available for just $18 delivered. Send $18, check, cash, or money order to Wayne Kreitz Book, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. Order forms available at DerryBrownfield.com.
Why does this once great land of ours seem to enjoy unprecedented prosperity but continues to go deeper and deeper into debt? To answer that question, read the book that tells it all, Down on the Farm, Economic News for Agriculture by Byron Dale. This book reveals the real reason why every dollar in circulation today is just someone else's borrowed money and how we got into this mess in the first place. In just over 100 pages, Byron Dale shows through official U.S. Treasury documents how created money and borrowed money are the same thing, incredible as it may be, but it's all there in Down on the Farm, Economic News for Agriculture. This book should be in every school library, and it should be taught in every classroom, and it should be in the hands of everyone who has ever put their hands on money. To put a copy in your hands, just send $10, check, cash, or money order to Down on the Farm, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. That's Down on the Farm, Centertown, Missouri, 65023.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show. And here's the star of the show, the man who asks, why does government get praise for solving problems that it created in the first place? Derry Brownfield!
And we're back with Ben Shapiro. Ben, you heard that commercial a while ago. I guess you were listening through the commercial time. When Wayne Kreitz was telling about how the judge actually threw the comments from the jury on the floor when he found out that he didn't get what he wanted as far as the case was concerned.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. I'm going to send you one of those books. You can read it in a couple, 3 hours. It's tremendous stuff. But Wayne Kreitz, you were probably too young to remember, but back in 1981, Wayne Kreitz had over $300,000 worth of soybeans in an elevator that went broke. And a judge said they couldn't get those beans out. Now, he owned the beans, and he had warehouse receipts to prove that the beans were his. In fact, he had money borrowed on the beans from the Commodity Credit Corporation. But the judge said, well, they're in this bankrupt warehouse, therefore they belong to the warehouse. And they were going to sell the judge was going to sell the beans to pay the warehouse's debt. And Kreitz broke, he just went against the judge's order, and they sent federal marshals there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was a big deal, and he took the beans out. Then, they tried to indict him at a grand jury, and the grand jury would not indict him. Then they had, I don't remember what they charged him with, but a 12-man jury or 12-person jury found him not guilty. Then they charged him with something different with another charge. Another 12-person jury found him not guilty. Then they came back and charged him with, it had to do with not doing what a federal marshal told him to do. And they said, now you don't get a trial by jury with this. So they literally took his, not only took his, they just wiped him out financially, took his land, took everything he had.
Yeah, welcome to our judicial system.
Yeah, that is our judicial system today.
The criminal justice system in particular is extremely flawed, and it's extremely flawed in a number of ways. The chief way that I think that it's flawed is the adversarial system in general is a problem. The idea that, okay, you know, we'll have a prosecutor and we'll have a defendant, and every defendant needs a lawyer, and therefore, you know, we'll let O.J. Simpson go out and get Johnny Cochran and let Johnny Cochran start playing the race card in the middle of a murder trial. I mean, that kind of idea that, you know, it's all about offense and defense. And it shouldn't be about offense and defense. It should be about convicting people who are guilty and about acquitting people who are innocent. And if that's the case, then all relevant information should be presented. In fact, I think Europe actually, this is one case where I think Europe probably has it better than the United States. Germany has a system called the inquisitorial system, where basically a judge sits there and he's the one who asks the questions, and there's a jury present, and the jury can ask questions, and it's much more about getting to the heart of the matter rather than about the kind of flair and courtroom politics that you'll see in any of the movies.
Also on a judge, I was always taught that the judge is supposed to be more or less of a referee. And I see this happen regularly in court cases. The judge will say, oh, you can't use that bit of information. Why can't you use that bit of information?
Yeah, well, sometimes the judge is doing that because he is being a referee and he's making sure fouls don't occur. But a lot of the time, the judge is actually becoming a participant in the trial. I mean, you heard John Roberts during his confirmation hearings talk about the idea of a justice or a judge as an umpire calling balls and strikes. And that's really what our picture of a judge is. Unfortunately, most judges are not like that. Most judges want to get intimately involved with the case. They want to be the ones deciding a lot of the major issues. And frankly, a case can turn on whether a judge allows certain evidence to be led into the courtroom, or if a judge allows a certain question to be asked, or if a judge overrules or sustains a certain objection by opposing counsel.
In this Wayne Crite story, I'm going to send you the book. You'll enjoy it. But like you said, it just shows what is wrong with our judicial system. But this one judge at the second trial said to the jury, I don't want you to come back without finding Crite's guilty. Now, he told them that. They came back and acquitted him. Now, isn't that jury tampering?
Well, what it is certainly improper judicial conduct, and the fact that they acquitted him is the only thing that prevented that from being appealed, I'm sure. If they had convicted him, certainly that judgment would have been appealed. And then the question becomes whether the judge above agrees with the judge below. So the problem is that you're in a system of people who generally agree with one another, and that's why liberal senators are constantly talking about precedent, because they believe that as long as it's liberal precedent, right? I mean, they believe that conservative precedent, the idea that a judge has already ruled on an issue and shouldn't rule on it again, conservative precedent should be overruled, but liberal precedent shouldn't be overruled. Well, because most of the precedent in this country now, because the Supreme Court has been so liberal for so long, is liberal precedent, that's why you're hearing senators coming out and asking, you know, soon-to-be Justice Alito, things like, well, don't you think that Roe is super precedent? Don't you believe that abortion is settled law of land? I mean, this kind of questioning is just bizarre, and it's wrongheaded, and it's stupid and ignorant.
What do they tell you in law school about this?
About
that questioning being stupid and ignorant.
What they usually say in law school is, yeah, they should. Here's the thing. In law school, they agree that Judge Alito should not become Justice Alito because they disagree with his positions on a lot of issues. However, you have to recognize that in law school, the bigger issue for everyone in law school is proving how much smarter they are than the typical legislator and proving how much smarter they are than the typical American, because it's only by feeling really smart and really superior to the typical American that they can justify to themselves taking policy decisions away from Americans and deciding them on their own. And this is what judges do. I mean, they feel like they are so much better than the American public that they can go out and just make decisions on abortion. They're so much wiser and more truthful than the American public, they can just make decisions on sodomy. And now they're so much wiser and smarter than the rest of us that they can make decisions on the conduct of the president during the war on terror. I mean, this is the kind of mentality that has to be pushed. So there's a conflict of interest when it comes to senators questioning judges. On the one hand, they don't like the judge who's being questioned, Alito. On the other hand, they don't like senators as a whole because they really feel that senators are stupid and that the American people are stupid, and that therefore judges should be the ones deciding all the major issues.
And they teach you that in law school.
Oh, well, I mean, that's the prevailing sentiment. I think that's always what it comes right down to. And if you argue with a typical law student long enough, you can get a typical law student to admit, who do you trust more, the American people or five justices on the Supreme Court? And your typical law student will say, without a question, five justices on the Supreme Court. And that's just frightening because we live in a republic, and the fact that the founders wanted us to live in a republic means that the American people, it really comes down to us to decide whether we trust ourselves more or whether we trust the justices more. And if we trust ourselves more, good. If we trust the justices more, we've betrayed the trust given to us by the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers weren't cowards. They felt that we should govern ourselves. They instituted this system of government whereby we govern ourselves and decide what's best for us. And if we betray that by handing over all policy-making decisions to a body of unelected oligarchs, then, frankly, we've done them a great disservice.
Now, you mentioned that the professors there at the law school tend to feel this way, try to indoctrinate the students, but the students that are in your class now have been indoctrinated since they were in kindergarten,
right,
in our public schools.
This goes all the way back, because you know, all of the stuff we've talked about, the idea that the judges don't get to have the final say, The idea that judges do get to have the final say has been drilled into kids' heads since the time they were in third grade. I mean, we don't learn in basic civics classes the history of judicial review. Basically, what people say is the Supreme Court has the final say on the Constitution, and the Supreme Court is the final check on the legislative and executive branches. The Constitution sets up a system of checks and balances, but the Constitution itself does not consider the judicial branch to be a check on the other two. The system of checks and balances is all about the checks between the House of Representatives and the Senate, and the Senate and the Presidency, and the Presidency and the House. It's all checks between the executive and legislative. The judicial is supposed to have no check whatsoever. The judicial is supposed to simply adjudicate laws that are very clearly stated. Unfortunately, what you're taught in public school and what you're taught in most private schools is the idea that the judiciary is supposed to check the other two branches and that therefore they're given the final say over what the Constitution means. So when you get to law school and when you learn differently, or if you read the history and learn differently, you really have to overcome this kind of burden of proof that's been presented by your third grade civics class, and it's been drilled into so many people's heads for so long that the Supreme Court is the final interpreter of the Constitution that we're not even willing to challenge their authority when they make blatantly stupid decisions, blatantly unconstitutional decisions, like Kelo, the case in which they decided that private property can be seized by local governments as long as they get more tax revenue, or Raich, in which they decided that states can't have control of their own intrastate commerce. They can't control, you know, if you grow a tomato in your backyard, you can't control that anymore. That's subject to regulation by the federal government. That's what Raich says, and that's what the Supreme Court has said, and we've been taught for so long that the Supreme Court is right and superior that we just accept that.
And we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show, online at DerryBrownfield.com.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
The future of health and wellness is here, and a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
And we have returned. Ben, one of the comments you made a moment ago, that laws are clearly stated. Today's laws are not clearly stated. Sometimes there's 1,000 pages in a law that nobody could read. Look at the Patriot Bill. You can't read that Patriot Bill. Doesn't make sense. They use terms that you and I are not even familiar with. If you look the word up in the dictionary, they use it totally different than what the dictionary states it. What do you do?
Well, the problem here is that lawyers have so taken over the legal culture and taken over the legislative culture that most laws are not written by legislators anymore. They're written by legislative aides, and those aides are generally lawyers. And the lawyers are generally interested in how the judiciary will interpret those laws. So everything is written in legalese, and that means that the American people don't even know what kind of laws their legislators are passing. If you look at the structure of the Constitution, bills were originally single items. Bills were never these kind of bulk bills, these kind of monstrosities that you see with regard to the budget every year, where you're getting not only the budget, you're also getting, you know, 500 reams of pork.
Right. I remember, and I think it's in the Federalist Papers, but one of our founding fathers wanted this to happen, that before a bill could be passed or voted upon and in the legislature, that it had to be read three times before, read out loud three times before the entire body. Wouldn't that be great if that was true today?
You know, it would be great, and you know, it would be, you know, just as great would be if every, before every bill was read on the House of the floor, on the floor of the House and the Senate, the following announcement was made: every dime that we spend here is Americans' tax dollars. That would really help.
They don't care. They don't care.
No, they don't care at all. And the reason that they don't care is because Americans don't care. I mean, this is really what's frightening. It's that Americans are not willing to take control of the legal culture. If we have to vote, if we get to vote, then we need to take control of this. You know, there have been a number of changes in the structure of American government that have led to this point where Americans really don't care. They don't vote all that often. We don't feel that our votes really make much of a difference. The biggest change was perhaps the 17th Amendment. It used to be that senators, which the Senate was supposed to be the ultimate check on the House. Everyone figured in the times of the founders that the House would be the big spenders and the Senate would really cut down on the spending. And the reason for that is that senators were originally appointed by state houses. They were appointed by state legislatures. They were not appointed by the people as a whole. The 17th Amendment changed that. And when that happened, senators started competing with local government members for dollars. So what that meant is that they had to start bringing home pork. And so the national government became about pork. And when that happened, basically the government expanded at an enormous rate. Everyone thinks the government expanded at an enormous rate in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. It really was before that. The government started expanding exponentially after 1913, which is the date of the passage of the 17th Amendment.
1913 was a very bad year for America. That's the same time that we got the Federal Reserve System. That's the same time we got the income tax, etc. You mentioned also state commerce, and we're going to take the final break of the hour here in just a matter of seconds. But let me read the Article 10 of the Bill of Rights to you. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited to it by the states or reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Much of what these Supreme Court votes on has nothing to do with the Constitution, but it's strictly state right issues. Let's take a break. We'll be back.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show, online at DerryBrownfield.com.
Friends, we all want to live in a country where our individual freedoms and private property rights are not only preserved, but protected. That's the main purpose of the Paragon Foundation, protecting your private property rights while supporting the productive multiple use of public lands. But more than that, Paragon goes to bat for you to keep your freedoms alive. The Paragon Foundation supports individuals and organizations involved in litigation, education, research, and the exchange of ideas related to their mission. But they need your help. So when you see private property rights being violated, call the Paragon Foundation. They'll make sure you have what you need to put out little sparks before they turn into big fires. But when those sparks burst into flames, they'll be there fighting for your private property rights. Support the Paragon Foundation today by calling 1-877-847-3443. That's 1-877-847-3443.
If you're one of the millions of Americans that suffers from acne or knows a friend or a loved one suffering, please turn up your radio and take down this life-changing information. Introducing Epiclear, the revolutionary new advanced skin treatment imported from Europe, formulated to help get rid of pimples and prevent further breakouts. Great for all ages and most skin irritations, Epiclear is doing something that no other acne treatment formula has ever done. Ever. We're so confident that Epiclear will clear up your skin that we're willing to let you try it for free. That's right. You heard free. And we mean free. Over a $70 value delivered without a prescription right to your house.
Call now while free supplies last at 1-800-654-0103. Nothing to risk and everything to gain. Call Epiclear at 1-800-654-0103. That was 1-800-654-0103. Limit one order per household, please. Call 1-800-654-0103. Shipping and handling not included.
Ben, we're about to run out of time here. We've had callers from Texas, Pennsylvania, Missouri, New Jersey, from all over the country, and I just didn't feel like we had time to take callers today. We're going to have you back. That's all there is to this. You mentioned the states again, and the Constitution. Don't you believe the Constitution gets involved in a lot of things that are just none of their business to start with? The Supreme Court.
Yeah, the Constitution is very much built around the idea of states' rights. And that has been absolutely lost. I mean, if you look at the decisions of the Supreme Court recently, and I mentioned one of them, Raich versus Ashcroft, this is a case where the where the state of California had laws about intrastate production of marijuana. It said that you could use intrastate, if you grew marijuana in your backyard and decided to use it for medical purposes, then that was okay. The Supreme Court said federal law trumped that state law, even though the case in question was a woman whose marijuana would never enter the stream of commerce. So this is the kind of stuff that the Supreme Court has been doing forever. Again, the example is if you grow a tomato in your backyard and decide to use it for a salad, the federal government can now regulate that. That's the problem.
And they're going to do it. I don't know if you're familiar with the animal ID or not, but they're going to do exactly that with all livestock and pets and horses and dogs and even birds.
Yeah, and this is the kind of tack the Supreme Court has taken for a very long time now, and in issues that are just as important as, you know, production of goods. I mean, we're talking about religion law. The First Amendment does not apply to the states. The guarantees of freedom of religion and freedom of speech, they do not apply to the states because the First Amendment explicitly states Congress shall make no law. Now, when it talks about Congress, it's talking about the federal Congress. That means that states can, in fact, pass restrictions on quote-unquote freedom of speech. Now, most state constitutions also have guarantees of freedom of speech, but that's to be left to the state courts, to decide what exactly that means. That also means that, so for instance, if you decide to, right now, the Supreme Court will decide that if you decide as a city to display a nativity scene in a public park, and I'm an Orthodox Jew, so, no bias here. If you decide to display a nativity scene in a public park in the middle of your town, the Supreme Court can decide that that is unconstitutional and force the city to take it down. That is nowhere talked about by the Constitution. Not only does the First Amendment not even countenance the idea that religion should be treated the same as irreligion or that religion should not be promoted by government, the First Amendment doesn't even apply to the states as a whole. So theoretically, states, and they did this early on, states could establish a religion. Massachusetts had an established religion up until the beginning of the 19th century.
Interesting. You know, you're an Orthodox Jew. You've probably read Isaiah. And he writes, "Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for the truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself an easy victim. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, there was no judgment."
Well, you know, that's about it. He was a prophet for a reason.
Isn't that the truth? Okay, where do we go from here, Ben? We've got about 1 minute left.
Well, I think that the biggest thing we have to do is get Americans mobilized on this issue. We have to have Americans aware of the fact that their rights are being trampled on by the Supreme Court. And then we need to do a couple things. We need to lobby Congress to start limiting the power of the Supreme Court, which they can do under Article 1 of the Constitution. And we also need to think about passing a real constitutional amendment. We can start this on the state level. Pass a constitutional amendment to take this power away from the courts and give it back to elected officials where it belongs.
You know, you mentioned in one of your comments here that you've made the Girly Man approach to economics. You talk about fear motivates Republicans to do strange things. Now, we're not going to have time to go into that. But why don't all Republicans get behind people like Ron Paul and stand up and say right is right and this is what we're going to do?
Because, first of all, a lot of Republican people don't understand some of these issues. I mean, they're very complicated issues. And the second thing is that a lot of Republican legislators are much more interested in bringing pork home to their constituents so they can get reelected than they are in actually upholding their oaths of office.
And now may the good Lord bless and keep you while the near or far away. May the good you wish for others shine on you today. May your heart stay tuned to music that will cheer the hearts of men. May the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet again.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails.
Most Americans want our government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But amazingly, some political leaders want to do away with borders entirely, whether the American people agree or not. And they have a serious plan for accomplishing their aims while deceiving the public. It's called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, a huge power grab. If Congress approves the FTAA, our nation will be pushed down the same path that produced the European Union. There will be no more illegal immigration because there will be no enforcement of borders. Americans will lose control of their destiny as regional bureaucrats from corrupt political systems decide our future. Sound incredible? Check out the facts for yourself. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then tell Congress you want a better future for America. That's stoptheftaa.org.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
RBN.com.